This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Landsberg Golf Club, 18 holes of par 72 championship golf located in Palm Harbor, Florida. Greens are rolling great and have been before and after the ninth event on the Todd Wright Tour. The final foursome was played there back on April the 1st. I just saw Steve Martin the other day, as Steve Martin gave me a couple of certificates for rounds of golf at Landsberg Golf Club to give away at a charity event that I am participating in this weekend. He is one of the most involved general managers at any golf club in all of Tampa Bay, and you are free to ask for him when you are there or when you call and tell him that I sent you. Steve Martin. Yes, he's heard all the jokes about his name. Landsberg Golf Club is at 4605 Village Center Drive in Palm Harbor, Florida. They can be found on the web at landsberg-golf.com. You can call for rates and tee times at 727-784-7333. Just a few notes this week on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We are literally just a few podcasts away from getting into some real notes and moving to a higher gear in advance of the start of training camps, and heavier interest from many of you as it regards your in regards to your season-long league. So I'm going to keep this one brief, as I've done with some podcasts recently, just based off some recent things that you may have heard about that involve players or teams fantasy football wise at select positions, in no particular order. And someone brought this up to me actually on the golf course within the last week regarding Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants, and should there be any cause for concern as it relates to what we went through with Beckham Jr. and the OTAs. No, I would say that's not the big deal. Beckham Jr.'s attitude is more the big deal. Unlike some other top wide receivers in the National Football League, Beckham is probably the biggest diva of the group, and that's saying a lot for National Football League wide receivers. But when it comes to guys that are traditionally ranked right now as the highest at that position, Odell Beckham Jr. is the one I think you worry about the most when it comes to self-inflicted reasons that he would not give you top point production on an any week basis. I don't think Antonio Brown owners worry about it. Granted, Julio Jones battled an injury for much of last season, and we talked on a previous podcast about how Steve Sarkisian, the new offensive coordinator of Atlanta, wants to use Jones more in the red zone. A.J. Green, of course, suffered an injury last year, and he's someone that I just personally, and I'm sure you feel this way about some certain players also, you just get to a point where you don't want to own them. I've never wanted to own Odell Beckham Jr. I rarely even own him in daily leagues on a week-to-week basis, just because I'm concerned that little things are going to affect his performance. Let's face it, from the battle with Josh Norman when he was with Carolina a couple of years ago, this is why there are increased procedures for having players thrown out of games in the National Football League. And it's just something that I don't want to have to follow. I don't want to have to deal with. I don't want to lose in a season-long league or in a daily game because something bothers Odell Beckham Jr. and people can't get him to see that there's a sort of like there are times where he doesn't think about the bigger picture for the New York Giants. And as a result, he's not thinking about producing and what it means for your fantasy team. When he is focused and when he is on the same page with Eli Manning, he's about as good as you're going to get. at the wide receiver position. He can win you games, just as he wins the New York Giants games. But as far as why he was in the news recently, I think it sort of comes with Odell Beckham Jr. and the whole package, which is why I personally don't deal with players like this. It doesn't mean that I don't talk about him on the podcast or I don't rank him in terms of overall value, but that is one of the things that you have to deal with that particular player that you don't deal with right now with other top wide receivers on the board. This is not to say that, for example, Julio Jones, we don't have questions about him going into this season. Will there be a Falcon hangover? Will Jones again be resting a lot of practices? Will he be battling his way through an injury? Is Sarkisian going to get him more looks from Matt Ryan in the red zone? We still have a lot of questions about that. But we ultimately know that if Julio Jones is on the field, that he's focused on the game, and there's a chance we're going to get point production out of him, and he's not going to do something self-inflicted, which suddenly makes him a liability to our particular lineup. Speaking of wide receivers, Jeremy Maclin does have a new team. It is the Baltimore Ravens. We touched on this in a previous podcast. Of course, now that Maclin is a member of the Ravens, he's saying all the right things about the organization. Keep in mind that before the Ravens added Maclin, they did nothing in free agency or the draft as it came to pass catchers. We just heard news about Breshad Perriman clearly being the number one guy in Baltimore. I don't think that necessarily changes. I think what does change now with the addition of Jeremy Maclin, provided that Maclin can be effective and have chemistry with Joe Flacco and nothing goes wrong in training camp or there's an unforeseen injury, that Macklin's targets will continue to diminish the returns of Mike Wallace, who started last season as someone I felt was undervalued in the Ravens offense, immediately produced with a long touchdown, and that has been one of Mike Wallace's MO going back to his days in the Pittsburgh Steelers, that if you were looking for long touchdowns where you were rewarded for yardage of 40 yards or more, Mike Wallace has been one of the better guys in the NFL. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of consistency in that, and there were diminished returns as the season went on. I would still expect that Perriman is going to be the number one wide receiver in terms of receiving targets in Baltimore. But Jeremy Maclin's play, I think, ultimately could hurt Mike Wallace's targets and could be a sign of Mike Wallace just not being someone the Ravens can count on overall as a number two guy in bringing in Jeremy Maclin. It sort of feels that way to me, also based off how little Mike Wallace was really able to give them the last 6 to 8 weeks as a body of work last season. Speaking of wide receivers, Anquan Boldin is now saying he'd like to play in or near the state of Florida. It's one thing to want something like that. It's another thing to get it. It doesn't appear as though any of the three teams seems a fit, but that's for right now. Keep in mind that the Dolphins were a playoff team last year. The Buccaneers were a team that put together a 5-game win streak, ultimately fell short of the playoffs. Did add multiple pass catchers to increase the mix and the options that Jameis Winston has other than throwing just to Mike Evans between the 20s and to Cameron Brate inside the 20-yard line. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars are always a potential fit for an attractive player, albeit you know what I say about the Jaguars. It is where big-time players go to die in terms of their fantasy production, and clearly they haven't been helping the Jaguars as it's been a while since the Jaguars had any relevance since that playoff game win at the Pittsburgh Steelers a few years back. So as it relates to Anquan Boldin, I don't necessarily see a fit right now as it relates to any of the state of Florida teams. I know reading on Roto World within the last 24 hours, some make the case that since the Titans flirted with Eric Decker, they may have an interest in Boldin. But the Titans, unlike the Ravens, did a lot in the draft to add other pass catchers. And I'm not sure that adding someone like Boldin goes in line with what the plan has already been there. And if there's any more roster space for someone like Boldin, who I've always thought highly of, and from a fantasy standpoint, Boldin can get separation in the red zone. He has always been, if you own him, someone who is going to be a guy that gets red zone looks. And granted, he is very far along in his National Football League career. I'm not sure that he is someone you can roster at this point, or even someone that you put once he finds a team and he's even worth a season-long draft pick. He might be more of a waiver wire guy for you. But in terms of where he's going to play and his wish to play in the state of Florida, at this point, most are having difficulty finding where that landing spot would ultimately be. And the last thing we'll talk about is Eddie Lacy making weight and getting money for not being fat. We would all love that as an incentive to not nibble on something that we otherwise shouldn't be snacking on, or to leave the fries out of the combo meal. But other than that, it doesn't change my perception of Eddie Lacy. And he is just someone that if you are going to make an investment in Eddie Lacy in a season-long league or in a daily game, and he doesn't produce, doesn't get volume, doesn't get yards per carry, let alone getting in the end zone, that's your own fault. You're going to need to see a lot out of Eddie Lacy in terms of, and not just verbiage from Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson. You're going to need to see sustained games, and I'm not talking about camp or preseason, before you would make a daily investment in Eddie Lacy. And I'm not one who's going to be even considering Eddie Lacy in a season-long league. Granted, the running back situation in Seattle, you know, Thomas Rawls had an opportunity last year to make it his own. He did not. He is saying he welcomes all the competition. I was a big believer in Thomas Rawls. I think he really missed his opportunity, as evidenced by the by bringing in Eddie Lacy. But at this point, I think the Seahawks running back situation is one to avoid and not one that I think we can accurately project this guy or this guy and know we're going to get back reasonable value for a season-long fantasy draft pick. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, again, is teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Landsberg Golf Club is one of seven golf courses in the greater Tampa Bay area. On the Florida Golf Trail, it is one of the five public golf courses that you can play 7 days a week, the others being the Preserve at Terra in the Sarasota-Bradenton area. Landsberg, of course, is in Palm Harbor. Bardmore is located in the heart of Pinellas County. Northdale, which I just played a couple of weeks ago in the Next Era Baseball Youth Baseball, a charity tournament. Their greens are always excellent. Keith is doing some very nice things there as the recent ad as general manager at Northdale Golf Club. And, of course, there's Bloomingdale Golfers Club, which is hosting the 10th event on the Todd Wright Tour coming up on July 8th. Out in Valrico. And for all the information on my golf tournaments, go to joebucksfan.com/golf. The event at Bloomingdale is sold out, but if you'd like to be placed on the alternate list, you can email me to do so. There are also two private courses on the Florida Golf Trail, the Bayou Club, again in the heart of Pinellas County, right across the street from Bardmore, and River Hills Country Club, which about this time last year was hosting a Todd Wright Tour event of its own and is a favorite of mine out in the greater Brandon area. My thanks always to Lanesburg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail for their sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and I'll talk to you again next time.